Welcome to the People's Baptist Hour, heard weekly here on WOTC, winning others to Christ. This service is coming to you from People's Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia, with Pastor Richard Forsyth. We pray that God will use today's message to touch your heart, and if we can be of any help to you spiritually, please call area code 540-434-6554. Now let's join the service.
In chapter 16, verse 33 of the Gospel according to John, Jesus was preparing the disciples and us for the difficulties that will be experienced by everyone who believes in him. Jesus said, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Tempted and tried, we're all made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, why there are others living about us. Therefore, let us join with the Apostle Paul, whose many trials included being left for dead after he was stoned outside of Lystra. And on four occasions, Paul was beaten with 39 lashes with a Roman cat of nine tails whip. But through it all, in Philippians 4:11, Paul declared, "For I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Amen. Cheer up, my brother. Cheer up, my sister. Jesus foretold it. We'll understand it. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Wasn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Brother Charles Harris. I trust you know Charles and his wife. The Harrises, we're certainly glad that they are here with us. And they're a blessing to us. Amen. That was good. Amen. Howdy. Good to see you all. Welcome to the Lord's house. Welcome to the Lord's house today. Are you glad to be in the Lord's house?
Amen.
This is the Lord's house, created and put in this place for His honor and for His glory. Take your Bibles, locate Psalm 122. Psalm 122. Before we begin, let me ask you, have you been born again? Have you been born from above? The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 3 that you must be born again or you will not see the kingdom of God. So I'm not asking if you're religious and I'm not asking if you believe in the Christian religion. And the Christian faith, I'm asking you if there's been a time in your life, at a place in your life, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You understood that He was God in the flesh. God sent His Son to this earth with the purpose of going to a cross and shedding His blood to pay the penalty for our sin. Why? Because we're all sinners. And we're all born in sin, alienated from God with a nature that opposes Him. But Jesus came, God's Son, to this earth. He went to a cross, shed His blood to pay the penalty for your sins, my sins and the sins of all the world. So I trust you, there's been a time and a place when you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you have the assurance if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven because Jesus was buried 3 days and three nights and He rose again for your justification. And He's seated at the right hand of God today interceding for you if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So I trust that everyone, every person in this place or listening to me know Jesus Christ. Know if they were to die they'd go to heaven because that's the only way to know God. It's the only way to go to heaven. You cannot have a relationship with God without Jesus Christ. So I trust you're saved. You're born again. There's been a time and a place in your life. Amen. Psalm 122. Psalm 122. We're going to talk about the house of God. The place that we've gathered here. This day. In Psalm 22, David is writing, King David, and he says this, I was glad, now note the word, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within the gates of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that they shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee because of the house of the Lord. Peace be in thee because of the house of the Lord our God. I will seek thy good. Pray with me. Father, we bow our hearts and minds before you, thanking you that you love us, thanking you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to pay for our sins, There has to be a time that we were born again, born from above. A time, Lord, when we received Christ Jesus as Savior and denied our sins and confessed our sins, repented and turned from those sins and turned to you. We pray for every person here that's true in their lives. We ask you now to bless these thoughts as we look at your word and look at this psalm. And as we talk about your house, Father, the house of the Lord, we pray that you'd be honored, blessed, and glorified. We ask, Father, that the Holy Spirit would empower, work in our hearts and our lives, and pray that you would have your will accomplished in our life, in our lives this day, we pray, in Jesus' name. Why are you here today? Why did you come to this place? What is your purpose for being here? I would say probably, would you say with me that we come here to worship God? Amen. To worship the Lord? Would you all say amen? Amen. Is that why we're here? Let me give you William Temple's definition of worship. And I think one that we really need to think about, so consider it if you will. And if you want to take notes, I'd suggest you do. But he has this definition of worship. Here's what he says. To worship is to quicken. That is, give life, if you will. To worship is to give life or quicken the conscience by recognizing the holiness of God. We're here today to recognize the holiness of God. Amen. To understand God who made us, created us, who created the world. By the way, it is God, young people, who created the world, not evolution. Amen. God created everything. He created man in his own image. Keep that in mind. No matter what you hear educationally wise, God created this world and he created you. But Temple said this, he said, to worship is to quicken, that is to make alive the conscience by recognizing the holiness of God. So it's to quicken our conscience, it's to make ourselves aware of God, who he is, and God's holiness. And sometimes we forget that. We forget that God is holy, God is righteous, God is pure, God cannot look or tolerate sin. That's why he provided his son, Jesus Christ, so we could have a relationship with him. So I thought that was great. You need to write that down. Why do you come here to church to worship? To have your conscience made alive or quickened to the holiness of God. So we come here and gather in this place to recognize God and to recognize his holiness. He says, worship is to feed your mind with the truth of God. That's part of worship, isn't it? We come to this place to recognize the holiness of God, to cleanse and purify and make our conscience alive of God's holiness. We also come to this place to feed our minds the truth of God. That's why we have a preaching service. And that's why we emphasize preaching the Word of God. That's why we have classes, by the way, so that you can sit under a teacher and listen to the Word of God and be taught the Word of God. By the way, that's what Sunday school is about. It's good to fellowship there, but we're supposed to be, learning the Word of God. Amen? So to worship is to quicken, make alive your conscience by the holiness of God. It is to feed your mind with the truth of God. It is to fill your heart and your life and your mind with the truth of God. Here's another thing he mentions. To worship, you must purge the imagination by the beauty of God. You must purge your hearts, your minds with all the things that accumulated from the world and by the world. And have a clean heart and a clean mind before the Lord. And your imagination, purge that imagination with the beauty of God, who he is, what he's done for us, how wonderful he is. God is good, we say.
Amen.
Amen. God is good. Then we'll add all the time. Then we say all the time God is good.
Amen.
Aren't you glad we serve a wonderful God?
Amen.
When you think about it and compare any God in this world that man has created, they're awful. But if you look at the God of the Bible, the God of the Bible is just and he's honorable and he's true.
Amen.
And he's loving and he's wonderful. He's wonderful in his nature. He's wonderful in his character. He's wonderful in who he is. He's wonderful in his salvation. Amen.
Amen.
We serve a wonderful God, but we're to purge our imaginations with his wonderfulness. We are to, with his beauty, recognize the beauty of God that we serve. To worship is to what? It's to open your heart to the love of God. Aren't you thankful for God's love? That sent Jesus Christ to the earth, that saved you one day when you were born again, born from above.
Amen.
Amen. Your life changed completely. You made new creature, new creation in Jesus Christ. You were given a whole new purpose, a whole new life, a whole new mind, a whole new heart. Amen.
Amen.
You still have that old nature that plagues you, but that's okay. Because through the Holy Spirit and through God's strength and power, you can control that guy. You believe that? Amen. So to purge the imaginations by the beauty of God and to open your heart. Let me ask you this. Is your heart open today?
Amen.
Are you open to the Lord? Are you open to his love? Are you open to his care? Are you open to him and who he is? Are you open to him? And then he mentions one more. He said to worship God is to devote your will to the purpose of God.
Amen.
To devote your will to the purpose of God. Here we might be troubled. Many of us, and I was thinking about this as I was noting this, we come to church every Sunday. We sit in Sunday school classes every week. And what we hear is the Word of God. We hear what God tells us to do. We get his instructions. He's telling us how to live, how to think, and what to do, and where to go, and how we should live in this world. He tells us all those things. Amen?
Yep.
He tells us as a believer in Jesus Christ what we ought to be doing in our lives, what kind of life to live, as I mentioned, but also how to serve the Lord. Amen? We're to serve the Lord. We're saved to serve the Lord. We're not saved just to go to heaven. We're saved to serve him. We're saved to glorify him. We're saved to lift him up. We're saved to make him known. Say amen.
Amen.
So what I'm saying, and I couldn't resist it or get past it. I had to say, I got to thinking about it. We come to church like we do right here. We'll preach God's word. We'll say that we ought to live a holy, good, honest, godly life. Are we right with God? Are we right with the Lord? Are you living the life you should as a believer? Are you a testimony as you should be as a believer? Are you witnessing as you should? Because God tells us that, and you hear that often, do you not?
Mm-hmm.
But what we do, we come, we listen, hear the Word of God. We walk out the same way we came in. We give invitations, by the way. Why do we give invitations? To challenge you, to give you an opportunity to get right with God, to obey his word, to do what he instructs you to do and what he tells you to do. And most of us will hear that, most of us will listen, but we'll go out that door the way we came in. We give an invitation to come and make it right. Are you living right? You know, when I give an invitation, sometimes I see one, two, maybe come up to the altar. And I'm looking and I'm thinking in my heart and mind, I'm saying, wow, all these other people are, everything is right. They're 100% like they should be. That's amazing. That's amazing, isn't it? I say, man, we got a church full of wonderful people. They're great. They're right with God. They're right on track, man. There's nothing in their lives that's wrong. Do you think invitation is a pretty good thing? It's a challenging thing, that's right. But it's a good thing, because we're challenged to what are you going to do with what God says? Is that true? If you don't do what God says you're to do, and you said, I'm not going to do that, and you walk right out the door, what happens is you get so calloused it doesn't mean anything anymore. God's word doesn't matter anymore. You come and hear a sermon because that's what you're supposed to do. That's the ritual of your religion. But you don't respond to the word of God. And when he made that last phrase statement in his definition of worship, I said, wow, there's some lessons here. There's some lessons here. He says that you are to worship God, and to worship him, you must devote your will to the purpose of God. You must devote your will to the word of God. I couldn't get past it. I said, man, he hit it right on the head. Now, do you have a better understanding of what worship might be for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me review them again. What is worship? Well, to worship is to quicken your conscience by the holiness of God. To worship is to feed your mind, your life, with the truth of God. To worship is to purge the imaginations with the beauty of God. In other words, you purge out all those things that don't match up with God's wonder and beauty. You purge it, and you open your heart to God's love for you. But then you devote your will to the purpose of God. Now, folks, that's worship. And I thought I hadn't seen a better definition, I don't believe, than his definition of worship. Do you agree? Is that challenging? Does that kind of spark us just a little bit to say, whoa, I need to really examine what I'm doing when I go to church? Because what it does, it becomes a ritual. You know, you got to be careful as a Christian. Everything can become a religious ritual. It's just something you do, and you do it automatically, but it begins to lose its meaning. Why do I worship? Why do I come to church? Why do we sing these songs? Why does a preacher get up and preach? Why don't they just have a play or something that's more fun, more attractive, more entertaining? Well, worship, he didn't say anything about entertainment here, did he? He didn't say anything about feeling good here, except for who God is and what he is. That's what should make us feel good, amen? I trust you know the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that this challenge to you by William Temple would be something helpful to you, that we'll think about that. The house of the Lord is the theme of this song. The house of the Lord is the theme for this song. This psalm probably refers to the tabernacle. And by the way, the tabernacle is the tent of meetings. And so this psalm refers to the tabernacle probably at that time, because the temple was probably under construction right now in Jerusalem during this time that David wrote this psalm. Now, you find Jerusalem mentioned in this psalm. And Jerusalem, what Jerusalem is the center of Jewish worship. It's a city, it's a place. It's God's place. Jerusalem is a special place to the Lord. Always has been and always will be. And so it's a center of Jewish worship. So the house of the Lord is indicated as Jerusalem in this text. So when he talks about the house of the Lord, he's talking about the tabernacle in Jerusalem, the temple being constructed at this time. But he's declaring, he's talking about the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, where people, God's people, come to gather and come to meet to worship and to honor the Lord. David here is declaring his feelings about Jerusalem and about the house of God. David, he wrote the psalm for people to sing as they came into Jerusalem for the great annual feast that they celebrated. And when they were all told to come and gather and worship and so forth, they would gather there for the Passover. They would gather there for Pentecost. They would gather there for the Feast of Tabernacles and so forth and so on. He has three lessons for us, I think, in this text. Three lessons in this psalm. So let me give you three lessons as quickly as I can. First lesson, that we as Christians, we are God's people, amen? If you're saved and born again, you're God's people, amen? You belong to the family of God. You belong to the body of Jesus Christ. You belong to the bride of Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to come for his bride one day. That's the rapture. He's going to come and catch us up together with him. That is the church. What is the church? Not this building. The church is people who are saved and born again. That's the church. So this is a place where the church meets. If you're saved, you are the church. Amen? So we are to, the first lesson here, we're to enter into the worship of the Lord with gladness. Look what he says in verse 1. I was what? Third word. Spell it for me. Spell it for me, everybody. I want to know if you can spell. All right. I was what when I came into the house of the Lord? Glad. Glad. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within the gates of Jerusalem, he says here. So the first lesson, I think, is that we are to enter into worship of the Lord with joy. Now, let me ask you, when you came to church today, were you glad? Were you really glad? Were you really joyful? Were you kind of excited about coming? How many can honestly say for the Lord, I was really glad to come to church today? Now, how many can say, I had a hard time coming. I didn't feel right. I didn't feel good about coming. Any honesty out there? Yeah. Praise the Lord, we do have some transparent people. So we're coming to the house of the Lord with gladness, full of joy. Glad to be here. Look forward to it. So much of the time we come to church with long faces, we struggle to get ready to come, things go wrong. We didn't prepare, by the way, the night before because we stayed up too late watching TV or whatever you might be doing. We didn't go to bed when we should have gone to bed. We get up late, we don't feel good, and I didn't get ready. I had no clothes ready. I had my shoes not ready. You know, by the way, you ought to ready yourself to come to church. You're not going to a ball game or a tennis match. Amen, you're coming to church. And why are we coming to church? To do what? Worship. And who are we worshiping? The God of all creation. The most supreme being of any being you can think of. Amen. I would think we ought to come to church kind of prepared, don't you? But we don't. We wait and put it off the last minute, stay up too late, don't sleep good, get up late and so forth. Then we're grouchy and fussing at one another. And where's this and where's that? I can't find this and I can't find that. My suit's wrinkled. Dinah takes care of that for me every day. Make sure I don't come with a wrinkled suit. I'm thankful for that, amen? I mean, we just don't prepare for it. And then when we come, we don't feel good. We're not excited about it. We're down. We're kind of grouchy and ill and blah, blah, blah. Now, point is, do you come with gladness? Do you look forward to it? Are you excited about it? Because I think you should be. And I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you've been coming to church. God's supposed to be real to us every single day. Amen. We ought to love him every single day. Worship him every single day. We ought to have joy in our souls. Amen. So I just wonder how you came to church today. Because you ought to look forward to it. You ought to be glad to come. And that's what he's saying here about it. So what is the lesson here? It is the will of God that we assemble together. That's what we see. Do you believe that?
Amen.
It is the will of God that Christians meet in a congregational fashion and worship and serve God together.
Amen.
You got that?
Yep.
Is that important?
Amen.
You cannot worship God properly out on a mountaintop, on a golf course, or on a ball field, or anywhere else. You worship God in church, in the local church that has pastors and deacons and officers that the New Testament appoints as to who they're supposed to be. You're supposed to meet in a church, a local church. I don't care where you are.
Amen.
God expects us to meet. So we are to assemble together corporately as a congregation. Now, what are we supposed to do as we meet in the congregation? You know, the Lord has a lot of instructions for us. First, we hear the word of God. We've already seen that. We hear the word of God. We honor the word, the Lord himself. We devote our will to his will, so forth and so on. But we are to, for the congregation's benefit, we are to meet. For your benefit, we are to meet. What are we supposed to do when we meet? Well, hear the preaching. Amen. To sit under the teaching, by the way. God has called teachers just like he has preachers. You're supposed to sit under teachers. Amen. But we are to meet together as a congregation. Why? To encourage each other. That means relationships with other people in the church. We have people on this side that don't know who these people over are on this side. I don't know who they are. That guy that sang this morning, who was he? Well, let me say this. You ought to know by now. Amen? I know I'm fussing today. Encourage one another. We come to church to encourage one another.
Amen.
What do we talk about when we come? I wonder what the ushers talk about out in the hallway. All of them standing around the welcome center. I wonder what they talk about. I would say most of our conversations together is about ball games. Did you see that ball game yesterday? Man. We talk about ball games. Talk about politics? Man, this country's going to the devil, that's for sure. And that's the truth, by the way. But, you know, we talk about politics. Huh? Ball games, you might be talking about business, too. You know how much I made this week? Man, I sold all this kind of, ooh, boy, I did good this week. But there's very little encouragement spiritually when we talk. You know what God did for me this week? Did you know he answered my prayer? Did you know I was reading in the Bible? And did you know what I found? Wow, it was wonderful. Opened my eyes to so many things. How are you doing spiritually? Is there anything I can pray for? How can I encourage you? How can I strengthen you? How can I help you as a fellow believer in this church? How can I do it? So those should be our conversations. Do you agree with me?
Amen.
So we are to meet as a congregation to encourage one another. You know what the Bible says we're supposed to do with each other in the church? We are to bear each other's burdens. We are to pray for one another. Now let me ask you this. How do you know of your fellow Christians' burdens? Tell me. How do you know of other Christians' burdens? I got all kind of chatter. How do you know other people's burdens? You know, what you have to do is talk to one another. And you know what you have to do? You have to share some things with one another. Amen? You know what James says? confess your faults to who? Who? Say it loud. You're to confess your faults one to another. Now, here's something that we do not do as Christians. We don't do it in our church. We don't do it much. We don't talk about ourselves and tell people our weaknesses and tell people our faults. Why? Why don't we? That's what we're told to do. So I can't know your burdens or your faults unless you come to me and say, preacher, pray with me. I just want to talk with you about this, talk with you. I'm not talking about me, but each other. But we won't open up. We won't be transparent. I don't mean now confessing your sins. To who do you confess your sins? If I confess my sins, he, God, is faithful to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That's who I confess my sins to. Faults are weaknesses. Faults are things that trouble us in life. They're not sins necessarily. But we are to gather together to encourage one another and to bear one another's burdens and to bear one another's faults, to help pray for one another, encourage one another, and strengthen one another. But we won't open up. Well, I'm not going to tell them that I got this problem because I want them to think I'm a macho. I'm a macho Christian. I got it all together. I don't need nothing. I'll guarantee you every one of us needs something. Every one of us has some faults. Every one of us has some weaknesses. And every one of us has some burdens that need to be shared. And by the way, the Bible gives the principle that we're to carry and help them carry those burdens. We're to pray for them about those burdens and those needs. Now, we're afraid and scared to death that somebody's going to talk about us. Well, if I tell this person that I'm weak in this or I need this, or I tell this person to pray for that, it's going to spread all over the church and everybody's going to talk about it. And I'm going to be a target. Well, that ought not be true. You agree? Bible says something about gossip. What are you supposed to do about gossip? What are you supposed to do about gossip? Hey, what are you supposed to do about gossip? You're not supposed to do it. And God very clearly tells you, you don't do that. But when they share things with you, we ought to feel good enough about one another to be able to share our burdens, open up to other people so we can pray for one another. We are to be, as a congregation, enthusiastic. Now, enthusiasm. We are to be joyful. We already talked about it. And these are things that the church desperately needs today. They need enthusiasm. We need to be enthusiastic about Jesus Christ, enthusiastic about the church. We ought to tell everybody about People's Baptist Church. We ought to be enthusiastic about it. Amen? Because we love it. We appreciate it. We share together. We build together. We ought to be enthusiastic about the Lord, what he's done for us, and tell others about him. We ought to be enthusiastic. And again, we ought to be joyful. We mention on Wednesday nights every once in a while, are you happy in the Lord? Amen. Now, I point to this a lot of times because I do believe that Christians ought to be a happy people. Amen. I don't mean you go around laughing all the time and everything's wonderful, but you have joy in your soul and people can know it. They can see a smile on your face because you have the peace in your heart of God. Amen? Oh, my goodness. I'm just getting started. This is the first lesson. We are to learn from each other as a congregation. We are to learn from one another. Guess what I learned? Guess what I saw? Guess what God did? And you share those things. We need to learn from one another about what it is to be a Christian, how to live a Christian life. We got a lot of young people in here. We got a lot of new people in the church and so forth and so on that should be, if we can be helpful to them and encourage them and teach them some things and give them some things, we ought to do it. Amen. Learn from one another. Help one another. Share your experiences. Share your wisdom.
Amen.
I mean, sit down and talk to another person in the church. Say, did you know when I got saved? Let me tell you about my salvation. Let me tell you what happened to me after I got saved. Let me tell you what I was doing before I got saved. You maybe not spend too much time there, but anyway. Observe the ordinances in the church. I mention that because ordinances are important. Baptism is an ordinance conducted in the church by the church, by the church leadership. By the way, baptism is not for swimming pools and other places unless it's a church-sponsored thing. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Communion is the same way. And by the way, every member and Christian that's associated with the church, when that service comes up, you ought to be in it.
Amen.
Jesus Christ told you, you do this.
Amen.
Let me just stop there. The Lord Jesus Christ says, you do this. Isn't that what he said?
Yes.
Why did he say that? You do this in remembrance of me.
Mm-hmm.
You honor me in it. And so Christians, a lot of Christians will lay out of church that Sunday when you have communion service. They don't want to come because they're under pressure. I don't want to mistake or take it wrongly. And so therefore I don't come because I got some stuff in my life that shouldn't be there. So they'll avoid the service. But let me say this. That's why God established it. But he said, do this. And you're to do it in remembrance of him.
Amen.
It's a time to honor him. This also shows us, in this first lesson, this also shows us also that our attitude toward the church should be one that is positive, should be one that's uplifting. You know, it's always easy to find problems, isn't it? It's always easy to concentrate on what's wrong. Well, they didn't do this, and they didn't do that, and they should have done this. And this is a better way to do this. And so we get to an attitude where we criticize instead of encourage. Now, again, church, from what we see in God's Word, is to be an encouraging place. Amen? It's to strengthen us and to encourage us, build us up spiritually. We should never have a pessimistic or derogatory attitude toward the church because it is God's church. It's made up of who? Made up of who? It's made up of sinners saved by the grace of God. Amen? It's made up of people. People can be problems. But that's why we are to follow what God tells us to do. We're to go back to the pattern of worship. Amen. We always should have a good positive attitude toward the church and God's people and so forth. A biblical church is one of the most, I would say, a biblical church is the most important institution on the face of the earth.
Amen.
How many of you know that? Really, it is God's body. It is God's bride. It is God's people. It is God's representatives. It is God's ambassadors. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what the church is. We should never be pessimistic about it. It's one of the most important institutions on the face of the earth. And one of the most important things that you can do is be involved in it.
Amen.
Make it better. Make it work. Give yourself to it. Make it work. It's a pillar and ground of truth. It's the guardian, if you will, of truth. It's the foundation of truth. That's what the church is. The most important institution on the face of the earth because it does God's work upon the earth. Now, who's the church? Not this building. People's Baptist Church is not this building sitting on this hill. People's Baptist Church is you, me, her, him. That's the church. Amen. So David here is pointing out to us that we are to meet as a congregation. And by the way, when are we supposed to meet? Uh-oh. Nobody knows. What? When are we supposed to meet? Okay, I hear a couple that know. There's so many of you that don't know. We're supposed to meet on the first day of the week. By the way, what's the first day of the week?
Sunday.
Does that sound familiar? I believe that's today, isn't it? We're supposed to meet on the first day of the week. We find out how. And why do we do that? Why don't we meet on the Sabbath day? Nobody knows.
Resurrection.
In the New Testament, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all of God's people assembled on the first day of the week, on Sunday. So Sunday is a day that's set aside. Now, we're not under the law where you can't walk, you can't go out, you can't do this, you can't do that. We're not under the law, but we are under grace. But at the same time, we have principles that we fulfill, and that's the worship of God, congregational worship, and that takes place on the Lord's day. And that's Sunday. And by the way, just let me mention, it's the Lord's day. It's not the Lord's morning. The word doesn't say anything about the Lord's morning. It says the Lord's day. How long is the day?
24 hours.
I think the idea here is that we ought to give thought to spiritual things, to the things of God, to rest, to recoup. And we have an evening service, by the way, at 6 o'clock, for those of you that just don't know that. But I think it's a day that we meet, we emphasize the Lord, we contemplate on Him, meditate upon Him, we think on Him. So David teaches us that we are to enter into congregational worship with gladness, with joyfulness, and with enthusiasm. And may God help us be that way. Amen. May God help us be that way. And again, I go back to the fact that we need to prepare for this day. We need to prepare to come to God's house. We need to do it the night before, where you can get up in the morning and you're all fresh and you're ready to go and you're feeling good and the kids' clothes are all. By the way, when we grew up, that's the way it was. You got your suit ready, Richard, for church on Saturday. Got your shoes shined. Get your tie out. I'm going to teach you how to tie a Windsor tie. Not, by the way. How many know how to tie a Windsor? I tried that new thing that was on the internet. Have you seen that? You lay your arm out and you put your tie out on it and you bring it back over and you do it three times. By the way, I did that the other week. I think it was at one of the services. Anyway, I did that and it works. The problem with it is it comes out as a half Windsor. Now, half Windsor will slip all over the place. When I got finished with the service, my tie was way over here. I'm saying, okay, I'll go back to my full Windsor and I'll tie it from now on, because that full Windsor will stay where it's supposed to be. Just some information for you. Point is, be prepared to come. Do it the night before. And don't stay up and watch the late show till 1 or 2 in the morning. You will not feel good about going to church. Get a good night's rest. Amen. Bob called his wife from work in the middle of the afternoon. He says, I'm able to get those tickets for the play that we wanted to see. It's playing now. Do you want to go see it? His wife said, oh, yes. She answered excitedly, I'll get ready right now. Do that. Bob said, the tickets are for tomorrow night. Now, the thought with this and the reason I use it is, think ahead. Get ready ahead. Be ready before you come to church on Saturday. I got two other lessons we can learn from this passage. I'll have to debate whether I should share it tonight or some other message. Maybe I ought to finish it tonight. We'll see. Isn't God good? Isn't it good to be a Christian? Good to be saved. Good to be in church. And thank the Lord for People's Baptist Church. I trust you're enthusiastic about it. I trust you love it. And I trust you'll do your best to help each other, encourage one another, share your burdens with one another, and pray for one another. Amen.
We trust that God used today's message to work in your life. If you are unsure of where you'll spend eternity, don't let another day go by without getting the answer. If we can be of spiritual help, please call area code 540-434-6554.